This is Deanna Spingola. It is Friday, September 14th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Zion Crime Factory, ZCF. His website is zioncrimefactory.com. And welcome to the program, Xander.
It's good to be here. It's been a couple months.
It has, and so many interesting things have occurred to you and your website a couple of times.
Well, yeah, the Jews were on a vicious rampage to silence me and my friend Prothink, who hosts my site, and they were successful in taking my website down twice in a month and a half period, which is pretty unbelievable. It's not that easy to take down a website, so you can imagine they had an army of Jewish censor agents behind the scenes working to shut down my website. I wonder why.
I can't imagine. I think one of the reasons is that you are very articulate, you are young, you appeal to a wide range of people, you are believable, credible, and you're effective.
Well, that's quite a compliment. I just speak the truth. I just do my research, look into these historical events, and present my findings in articles and videos and interviews and whatnot. And but these people won't stop. They are absolutely dedicated to suppressing any speech that is critical of Judaism, Zionism, Israel. And I made a post recently. A friend of mine runs a site called JewishProblem.com, and this group called this Jew-loving terrorist group called the Hindus United for Israel sent out this message to their followers on Facebook to report my friend's website to the masterminds of 9/11 over at the Mossad, the communist enforcers at Interpol, as well as Abe Foxman's personal dreidel toy, the FBI. And they're calling for his site to be eliminated and taken down, and they're calling for him to be arrested and put in a Jewish gulag for thought and speech crimes, as they'd like to do with every single person that speaks against them. They would have us all thrown in prison or killed, because that's how vengeful and psychopathic they are. They don't tolerate any criticism. They seem to be allergic to criticism, and that's kind of strange for people who claim to be victims and they have nothing to hide, yet they can't tolerate anybody speaking up against their crimes against humanity. And I wrote this article just kind of illustrating this this kosher fatwa that has been launched against my friend's site, my site, and other websites. And I just pointed out, I mean, this group, Hindus United for Israel, my friend was telling me this is probably run by a Jew who's just pretending to be an Indian Jew lover, and they like to do that. They like to create these front groups to make it look like they have all this support around the world from non-Jews, like Hindus United for Israel, Russians United for Israel, whatever the case is. But, you know, even if this is some like crazy Hindu Zionist, it just goes to show that the Jews have recruited and inducted the degenerate dregs of every racial, ethnic, and religious group into the service of the Jew world order, and have shaped them into the foot soldiers of Zion. And really, the Jews, their main support base in the world comes from the radical left, communists, Marxists. These people are in the streets. They're violent. They're maniacal. They're vicious. They attack nationalists. They try to kill a Holocaust revisionists, and they have state protection from all of the secret police agencies in the Western world. Communists can get away with any amount of violence or criminal activity, and they're absolutely protected by the government, because the government is controlled by Jews who absolutely love these communists and what they're doing, because they're attacking the enemies of the Jews. That the only people who are fall victim to these communists are the enemies of Jews, the Holocaust revisionists, nationalists, and patriots. And the other group that supports Jews in the world today is the Christian Zionists, these psychopathic lunatics who have this ridiculous religious fanaticism, ideology that says Jews are the chosen people, and they have all kinds of crazy beliefs. And those are the two main groups supporting Jews today. And so that they don't really have wide, they don't, Jews do not have widespread support in the world. That there's more people against Jews than for Jews, but the problem is that Jews have, they are sitting behind the throne. They control the reins of power in all the major Western countries. So they have the police agencies, they have the secret services on their side, on their payroll, who are able to suppress any dissent and suppress any semblance of resistance against Jewish domination.
Right. And of course, I also have military occupation. One of the listeners to our programs wrote to me today and said one of the basic reasons why we still occupy Germany is to protect the 250,000 Jews that still live there. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting. Certainly, they use the military power to go in and as they have in the Middle East. And just recently, I heard that California passed a law that forbids any kind of criticism of Israel. Have you heard that?
I heard of that, and that's very interesting, because I've recently posted a number of videos from Alex Jonestein, who I've nicknamed Rabbi Schizoid Alex Jonestein. And in one of these videos, he's on one of his typical Jew-loving rampages, and he tries to claim that, he says something like, bashing Jews in Israel is extremely popular, and it's encouraged by the New World Order, and that we see here that criticizing Jews and Israel even is being outlawed by governments, is being made illegal by various governments, even the United States, where you have the First Amendment, you have the right to free speech. The government of the United States is constantly trying to make these declarations, and give it like this authoritative, idea that they can say, oh, this is criticism of Israel's anti-Semitism. They try to get lawmakers and politicians to denounce anti-Semitism, to denounce criticism of Israel, to give it credibility, as if politicians and lawmakers have credibility. It's ridiculous. So Alex Jones is in a delusional fervor. He is making things up off the top of his head. He is just in pure desperation mode. Criticizing Jews in Israel is probably the most taboo thing in the Western world. It's extremely popular to heap praise upon Jews, to bash the enemies of Jews, that being the National Socialists of Germany and Muslims today. Bashing Nazis and Muslims is popular, is mainstream. Everybody does it. It's been we it's it, the Jews have weaved that kind of narrative into the mainstream, into the public's consciousness, so that you hate, everybody hates Nazis and they hate Muslims now, because those are the enemies of Jews. So Jones is just straight up lying when he says it's popular to bash Jews in Israel. He's just making things up to justify his love for Jews, his defense of Jews, his support of Israel, his fanatical passion to uphold the Jew world order, Zionism. He's on record stating that he will die for the Jews, that anyone who opposes Jews is working for the government. This is just pure Jewish disinformation. And
Right. Did Bush actually signed, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, actually signed an anti-Semitism, a global anti-Semitism law on October 16th, 2004. It just has not been enforced.
Right. And that thing was put in place in 2004, and what it did is it created an entity in the US government that was responsible and tasked with monitoring global anti-Semitism. So they had this group of bureaucrats form this political entity inside the US government who were monitoring and spying on patriots and media in the Arab world, in Asia, even in Europe, and was monitoring and tracking so-called anti-Semitism, which should be called resistance against Jewish domination and tyranny. So if it's so popular to be anti-Jew and anti-Israel, as Alex Jones says, and if the New World Order wants us to bash Israel and Jews, then why is the US government creating an entity that's tasked with suppressing anti-Semitism, putting down anti-Semitism, and making it seem if it's as if it's bad to be against the Jew world order? So Alex Jones has absolutely no credibility. He's a complete fool, a jackass, and he's just getting more and more brazen with his pure disinfo, his pure lying and deceiving. His idiocy that is just becoming to the point where he looks like a paranoid schizophrenic. He looks like he's suffering from dementia or something. This guy is just coming up with so many ridiculous excuses for his shilling for Jewish domination, for Jewish supremacy. And I just like to make fun of him. I have to post at least two things per week just slamming Alex Jonestein because he is the leading Judas goat in the Patriotard movement. And there's this one video I posted of Alex Jones on some television show where he's being interviewed. And he's claiming that this bank building in Austin, Texas, called the Frost Bank Building, is shaped like an owl. And he says that this is an Illuminati monument and that it looks like an owl and represents the ancient Semitic deity Moloch. And if you look at the building, it doesn't at all look like an owl. Alex Jones is completely delusional. And he's like pointing at the building, and it's just completely hilarious. He's like, "Look, there's the beak, there's the eyes of the owl. It's an owl." And the other guy is just looking at him with this confused look on his face. It's one of the funniest videos I've ever seen, illustrating the mental illness of Alex Jones. He's just a complete idiot.
Well, it's very common for people to be very persuasive and say something that try to convince people that something is true when it isn't. But it's very sad, kind of pathetic, that a lot of people go along with this, and no matter what their lying eyes tell them. For instance, there are people in the alternative patriot movement. Alternative patriot, alternative movement,
The Patriotard movement.
right, that say, oh, there's no chemtrails. There's no such thing as chemtrails. And it doesn't matter that Congress has ruled that they can have chemtrail projects, and there are 66 of them going on right now just in the United States. And yet we have people who are saying, oh no, there's no chemtrails, those aren't chemtrails, there's nothing going on, when all around we see trees dying, gardens failing, all of these things happening, record snowfalls, and yet if somebody that's very persuasive, has a little charisma, says that it isn't happening, then people actually believe that it isn't happening. They distrust their own conclusions, their own evidence, their own just their own eyes, basically, and believe what they're told. And it's pathetic.
There's a lot of people that are taken in by scumbags like Alex Jones and are hoodwinked by these kosher clowns, and that's just a result of the fact that a majority of people in any society are lemmings, including a majority of the people who claim to be patriots and awake to a lot of this stuff. They fall for such obvious disinformation. All the crap that Jones and company put out about Hitler and Nazis being part of the globalist New World Order and all that garbage, a majority of these people fall for that stuff. And they don't even think critically at all. They just see this slick documentary that Alex Jones puts together in his little cave there in Austin, Texas, with all of his video editors and all the people on his staff. He's got these professional people working on these horrible and trashy documentaries, which are chock full of just lies and disinfo. And people like to see these slick documentaries and think that everything in there is 100% correct, when 99% of what you can find in an Alex Jones documentary or something put out by Jim Mars or Jordan Maxwell, who's another one of these Jew-loving fanatics in the Patriot Terror movement, most of what they say is propaganda and lies.
And they don't back it up with any kind of source material. You can tell that they haven't really done their research. And, of course, they expect, well, it's true, that people will watch this and accept it without even looking into it themselves. They just accept somebody else's conclusions, which is really very sad.
It's hilarious when Alex Jones says that he's done the research, folks. He's done
right.
the research. And I saw this video. He was talking about false flag operations in history and government staged terrorism. And, of course, as two of his main examples, he cites the fake false flags that never happened, the Reichstag fire and the so-called Gleiwitz radio station attack that they blame on the Nazis, which simply never took place. And we have all the facts proving that those two incidents are propaganda myths invented by the Allies and the Jewish media to demonize and slander Hitler and the Nazis. And Alex Jones, he's talking about it, and he has his camera in his hand. He turns his camera to his computer screen, and he shows the Wikipedia page for the Gleiwitz incident, and he's reading the Wikipedia page verbatim as his proof of the so-called Nazi false flag at Gleiwitz. So this is the depth of Alex Jonestein's research. Wikipedia, Jewish control Wikipedia. There's this video out there called like Zionists Manipulate Wikipedia, and it shows that these Zionist Jews are having a conference where they're discussing how to manipulate Wikipedia and tamper with it and inject Zionist and Jewish propaganda into Wikipedia. And this is the main source for Alex Jones for all of his claims about Hitler and National Socialism. All of it comes from mainstream Jewish-controlled sources. And he's expecting – and he thinks that people will view him as somebody who's credible. He's citing the Nuremberg trials, the utterly discredited hoax communist Jewish show trial where they blamed the Nazis for the Katyn Forest Massacre, and now they've confessed that that was the Soviets. This is the trial that has been completely discredited. There's a book called Not Guilty at Nuremberg by Carlos Whitlock Porter, just totally ripping apart this sham trial as a hoax. The victors write the history. The victors judging the vanquished, and Alex Jones Stein is citing this as his primary proof of Nazi malfeasance, quote unquote. So, I mean, this guy has absolutely no credibility. It's just a big joke now. We can just make fun of him and just point out all the laughable things that he's promoting at any given time. He's always promoting some Jewish propaganda story. At some point, he's pushing their version of events on whatever topic it is, whatever subject it is. He's always trying to whitewash everything and downplay the Jewish role in all of these historical events and the Jewish influence, like the fanatical Jew lover Webster Tarpley, dedicated servant of Zion. These people just want to whitewash Jewish power and downplay Zionist influence. And when it comes to 9/11, they do the exact same thing. They try to blame it all on the kosher puppets, the window dressing for the Jew World Order, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice, the four Shabazz Goyim stooges that they put up front and to take the blame for all of this Jewish malfeasance from behind the scenes and this Israeli domination of American political system, and Alex Jones and Tarpley and these other clowns think that George Bush is the big string puller behind all these events. He's a puppet president. He's beholden to Jewish money. Bush couldn't even spell properly. He couldn't even speak proper English. And they're blaming him entirely for 9/11 and orchestrating the attacks, when all the evidence shows that Bush was simply put up there as a figurehead, really, to take the blame for most of it. And it looks like he was blackmailed into going along with it. So, you know, Bush is a complete scumbag, obviously. But to focus in on him and ignore the obvious Jewish criminals who are running the show from behind the scenes, who are pulling the strings, who have all the power and all the money in their pockets, and to scapegoat a Gentile like Bush is the modus operandi of these kosher clowns in the Patriotard movement.
Of course, they always scapegoat everybody, or they project. They blame other people for the very evil things that they do. And that's always been their agenda. That has always been their modus operandi.
Right. Jones is a video I posted on my site where Alex Jones is literally engaging in the most disgusting Jewish projection I've ever seen, where he's crying about the anti-Semites attacking him, the anti-Israel people attacking him. And he's saying that the Nazis and anti-Semites are so deceitful and they're always twisting things, when in fact it's Alex Jones that is constantly twisting and lying and deceiving and trying to weasel his way out of admitting these facts and these truths. So he's become a Jew. He might not be a Jew biologically, but he is one in spirit. He is one in his rhetoric, in his manipulative ways, his deceitful and beguiling nature. He is a Jew, and he will serve them until the end, because they pay his bills. They sponsor his radio show. His radio show is probably one of the highest rated in the Patriotard community. He's probably on the level, almost on the level of a Michael Savage, some of these other Jewish phony conservatives out there.
Michael Medved, some of these other people, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to get on that level and get into that arena. And he's doing a good job of it. If he keeps kissing Jew ass the way he is now, then he will become a mainstream celebrity if he wants to. You just have to support Jews and defend Jews, and you can be famous.
Right. Now, wasn't he on some TV program?
He's been on a number of mainstream media programs. He's been on mainstream news channels like Fox News, MSNBC. But he's also on The View.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of. It's not anything that I watch, but I heard that he was on.
And he's just riding off the coattails of his friend Charlie Sheen. He has all these. He's always bragging. Jones has bragged about the fact that he has all these Jewish friends in Hollywood, and no wonder he's so successful and popular. He's just taking orders. He's just following orders from the Jew world order.
Right. Well, you have written, you've been working lately on your 9/11 piece, Zionism and 9/11. And you said it might become a book.
That's right. It's just the length of it, what I have now. I'm not even finished it, but it's pretty big as it is right now. And by the time I'm finished it, I think it will be probably over 100 pages, which is maybe a small book, but I'm hoping to get it published. I don't know where I'm going to do that, because just the content of it, it's very unlikely that anybody will be willing to publish it. But I know you know a little something about publishing books, so maybe you could help me out in that respect.
Sure. I know who not to publish with. Well, I know who won't publish you. Because a lot of the publishers that maintain that they are conservative, quote unquote, really are CIA fronts, and they won't publish anything that has the J word in it.
Right. Well, every mainstream book publishing house is either Jewish controlled or run by somebody who's beholden to Jews, and if they publish anything that the Jews consider anti-Semitic, then they will rally to and protest that publishing house and try to get them bankrupted. And that's how they control the discourse. They either just own it outright, or they try to suppress anything that's critical of them. So obviously this is never going to be published in any kind of mainstream format, any kind of mainstream bookstore, like Jim Morris seems to, his book seems to appear in all the mainstream bookstores, because he tells all kinds of colossal falsehoods and lies that benefit Jews, which I don't do, and I just speak the truth. But the content of this book will be simply about 9/11 and who really did 9/11. And everybody who's even done lightweight research by now should understand that 9/11 was an Israeli and a Zionist, a Jewish plot to bring America into wars against really the entire Muslim world, the entire Islamic world. They were aiming for a clash of civilizations, which has been promoted by a Jewish Zionist and neoconservative thinkers going back to the 60s and 70s. And all of this was spearheaded by Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party in Israel. And I'm really liking just what I have so far. I've laid it out so it's just very, very concise. It's very simple. I have all the facts condensed nicely so that when you read it, it's just a very intense conglomeration of the facts back to back to back. So it would be very, very difficult for anybody to come out of this and not believe that Jews had a huge hand in 9/11 and all of the wars that ensued shortly after, because I'm also going to cover not only the 9/11 attacks, but also the wars that they launched using 9/11 as the pretext for those wars. And you know, it's probably my best work to date. I'll probably publish it on my site first, and then try to get somebody to publish it in a book form later.
Uh-huh. You could do it through Lulu, or you could do it through Amazon as a Kindle book, which is an e-book.
Yeah, well, I want it actually in a physical,
right,
physical book that people could buy.
Right, Lulu, you could do it a hardcover or a hard copy with Lulu, Yeah, this 9/11 thing is, it's so significant. I think that, I did a piece on it on my radio program on Tuesday to commemorate that day. And I got a phone call immediately after the program ended. In fact, I just barely ended the program, and I've been put back into Studio B. So apparently somebody was listening that didn't like what I was presenting, but it was actually 22 pages of information. And it could have gone on and on and on, because there are so many things that are tied in to 9/11. And one of the things that that is kind of interesting is that Senator Bob Kerry said at a conference, when he was leaving a conference and just chatting with people on his way out, he said that 9/11 was a 30-year conspiracy. In other words, if you go back, and this was, I believe he said this in 2003, or I'm not sure of the exact date, I'd have to look it up. But if you go back and you think, okay, that would be about 1970, and you think, okay, what was going on just before 1970, and you figure, okay, the attack on the USS Liberty, the building of the Twin Towers, just a lot of very interesting things. I'm kind of into timelines. And if you piece together a timeline, you see a lot of things happening around the same time. You know, the moon landing. And I was thinking, gosh, yeah. I wonder if the same companies that benefited financially from the moon landing and from the billions of dollars that the United States allegedly paid, or probably did pay, for all these props that they used to claim that men landed on the moon. I wonder if those companies were some of the same companies that profited from 9/11.
It makes a lot of sense that, this guy said it was a 30-year conspiracy because in 1979, the founder of the Israeli Mossad and the Shin Bet actually predicted 9/11. This Christian Zionist lunatic named Michael Evans went to visit Iser Harel in Israel, and Iser Harel told him that New York City's tallest building would be struck by terrorists. And of course, he was saying by Islamic and Arab terrorists because that's the cover story. He's not going to come out and say, yes, us Jewish terrorists are going to attack the Twin Towers. But that illustrates quite candidly that these Jews and these Israeli leaders were planning 9/11 going back to the 1970s. And because they had tried many times before to instigate wars between Arabs in the West by staging these false flag attacks, like the King David Hotel bombing, which was perpetrated by Jewish terrorists from the Irgun, the Jewish terror gang in Palestine in 1946. And they were dressed up like Arabs. And there was the Levant affair in 1954, where Egyptian Jews dressed up like Arabs and attacked British and American buildings in Egypt and tried to instigate a war there. And then the USS Liberty. And then there have been countless other false flag terrorist attacks that have been committed by Jews, but that they were successful and that they are still being blamed today on Muslims and on Arabs. That's the point of a false flag operation, is to blame your enemy for the attack. So the Levant affair and the USS Liberty were two sort of botched Israeli false flag attacks. Now imagine all of the attacks that were successful and they're still being blamed on the wrong people today. And I would include in that category the bombings that took place in Lebanon in 1982 against the U.S. Marine barracks and the French Marine barracks. And then there was the attack in Africa on the embassies in 1998. And then there was the USS Cole attack, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And I actually detail some of those events briefly in this book and show that every single one of these was either done directly by Israel or provocateured and set up, certainly set up by them. And the evidence is overwhelming that the Jews and Israeli Mossad blew up most of those buildings and bomb most of those ships and what have you in an effort to drag Westerners into wars against their enemies. They've tried it countless times, and they were successful in pulling off 9/11 as the big event to kickstart this agenda of complete annihilation of their enemies in the Middle East. And they've gotten every single thing that they've ever wanted since 9/11, since Benjamin Netanyahu declares that 9/11 is good for Israel and swung American public opinion in favor of Israel. Look at all the countries that have fallen victim to the Jew world order. You have Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, now Syria is being ripped apart from within due to Mossad and U.S. Manipulation. And of course, they have been targeting Iran since 2005 for complete nuclear destruction and annihilation. Israeli professors like Martin Van Creveld are even threatening Europe with nuclear annihilation if they don't support these agendas. And it's so obvious, it's so blatantly obvious who's behind all of this madness. The only people who benefit from it are Jews, are Zionists, and their puppets and stooges in the Western world. And they're just going to continue until every single last remaining enemy of Jewry is 6 feet underground and unable to even put up any resistance.
Right. And they are also behind some of the so-called Islamic terrorist groups. They have actually published some of the papers and documents and whatnot that were purportedly Islamic founded, and it's actually been Jews.
I actually wrote a little bit about that in this book. I detailed some of these organizations, these shady groups that are putting out all of these scary Al-Qaeda videos and Bin Laden videos, and all of these groups are run by Zionist Jews. There's these people who run a group called Site Intelligence, and it's run by a Jewess named Rita Katz. And to say that she has a conflict of interest in promoting all this hysteria about Islamofascism, Islamic terrorism, and all this, her father was convicted and executed in Iraq as an Israeli spy, and during the Six-Day War, Saddam Hussein executed her father as an Israeli spy, and she moved to Israel with her mother. She attended Israeli universities. She served in the Israeli occupation army. And obviously, when she moved to the United States, she brought with her raging Zionist ideology. And she's been promoting the myth of Islamic extremism and terrorism that they want us to be afraid of, so that they can control us and get us to do their bidding in the Middle East. And the other guy who's part of that group is called Josh Devin, another Zionist Jew. Then there's this group called the Intel Center, run by two Zionist Jewish fanatics named Jim Melnick and Ben Vensk. And these two organizations literally conceived all of the videos about Al-Qaeda, all of the Bin Laden videos that they've been bombarding us through the media, all these scary Al-Qaeda videos come from these Jewish and Zionist outlets. And we're supposed to believe that these people have any credibility when they try to tell us that Muslims are the threat, Muslims are the enemy, coming from Jews who are the real enemy. So it's absolutely absurd. Everything that in the media that is pushing this myth of Islamic extremism and that we need to be afraid of the Muslims is coming from these Jewish supremacists. And another important point is that the so-called media director and spokesperson for Al-Qaeda is a Jew named Adam Perlman. He calls himself Adam Gadon, and he's on the FBI's most wanted list as like the spokesman for Al-Qaeda. And it turns out he is an American Jew whose grandfather, Carl Perlman, was a prominent surgeon and a Zionist activist in California. He was on the board of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, America's preeminent Zionist hate organization, and he was also part of numerous other Zionist groups in California. And he, Adam Gadon, aka Perlman, actually lived with his Jewish Zionist grandfather for a time, and he supposedly magically, out of the blue, converts to Islam while he's living with his Zionist grandfather, and then moves to Pakistan and becomes an Al-Qaeda spokesperson. And anybody with half a brain could tell that this is a complete hoax and a propaganda show being put on by this Zionist Jew, Adam Perlman, to scare Westerners into believing that in the myth of Al-Qaeda. And the he always tries to uphold the myth that Al-Qaeda was involved in 9/11 or had anything to do with 9/11. He's always pushing that. So he's obviously a propagandist for the Jews. There's no question.
Right. And then you also have Pamela Geller, who goes around the country giving talks and writes books about the Islamic terrorist.
Correct.
And then you have WorldNet Daily, who is basically Christian Zionist. I don't know whether that would be a Christian. I guess they would fall into that category.
Right. The entire counter jihad movement of these kosher Jew lovers, all of these groups and these propagandists like Daniel Pipes and these neocon Zionist Jews, Geller, Robert Spencer, and all these other clowns. They're all Zionist Jews, and they're openly such, and it's so obvious that what agenda that they're pushing. And a lot of European groups have been hoodwinked into supporting these counter jihad losers, these Jewish losers who are just obviously pushing the clash of civilizations and the war on terror hoax which is just an agenda to benefit greater Israel and to prop up Israel as a superpower in the Middle East. So you see a lot of these fools and dupes in Europe, like this EDL group, this English Defense League or something like
All
that.
right, yes.
And out there, they have these demonstrations that they go to, and it's so pathetic. They have these signs saying, with the Israeli flag and the British flag side by side, and he's like, "Down with Islamic Jew haters, you have no place in England," and stuff like that. It's obviously that this isn't even an English Defense League. It's a Jewish Defense League masquerading as an English Defense League. And there's a lot of different groups like that, these Muslim bashers, and you know, I don't support the mass immigration of Muslims into Europe. Obviously, that's a destructive policy which is being led by these same people. But at the same time, to try to blame Muslims and say that Muslims are the main enemy is just a complete joke, and you're falling for Jewish propaganda. And there's a lot of groups in Europe that are pushing that, like in Sweden, these Swedish Democrats and stuff like this. There's a lot of political parties that claim to be nationalist, but in reality are completely subverted by Jewish interests to push the war on terror hoax and to support Zionism. So they've hoodwinked a lot of the less intelligent folks who think that, you know, something's wrong with the immigration policy, but they have they're totally Jew blind, don't understand the Jewish question, and have been really made to look like complete idiots, and they're only going to get what they deserve.
Sure, and I think Obama is certainly part of that because he has made claims that are supposed to be in videos or that are in videos where he says that he's a Muslim and this and that. And I think that that he is working for the Jews, but people will blame a lot of the things that are happening to this country and his ridiculous Obamacare. They will say, "Well, look what that Muslim is doing, and he's doing this and that," when in fact he's serving the Jewish agenda. And when he was campaigning in 2008, he appeared before AIPAC and pledged his loyalty to that organization. Not only that, but it was Jews kind of interrogated him or interviewed him in 2004 to see if he would go along with their agenda before he even became a senator in Illinois.
Right, Obama was the product of Jewish money and Jewish power brokers in Chicago. He even admits that all of his friends in college were Jews, and almost all of his financial supporters are Jews. And Goldman Sachs, the Jewish predator bank, is the biggest campaign contributor to Barack Obama. And he's groveling in front of AIPAC. He grovels to the ADL. He goes and bows at the Wailing Wall, but supposedly he's serving the Muslims. It's just unbelievable what people are willing to believe to dodge the Jewish question and the Jewish influence and the power that they hold over every single president. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the Oval Office, all of them are beholden to Jewish economic and political influence. And that has been demonstrated throughout history.
Right, and both Rockefeller and Soros, and it didn't matter. Party lines did not matter. They both financed him back in 2004.
Yep, and both parties, whether it's Democrat or Republican, are two sides of the same Jewish coin. They're both financed in large part by Jewish billionaires and Jewish banks on Wall Street, so that they can control both sides of the game. They want to control everything. They want to control all sides and every side, so that they always win. They always come out victorious, no matter who gets into the presidency. He's willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill the aims and ambitions of the Jewish power elite. And the running candidates for the presidency coming up are Obama, and it looks like Mitt Romney is going to be Republican. Both have made it openly clear that Jews is their first and foremost concern. Jews in Israel is all that they care about, and they're willing to exterminate the entire Iranian nation just to please the Jews in Israel, and
Right.
they're willing to, Romney's willing to take the world into World War III. There's no question that he will instigate a war with Iran if he gets into the presidency. He's a psychopathic, schizophrenic lunatic. He has a genocidal bloodlust for Iran and other enemies of the Jews in the Middle East. And I guarantee you, if there was any kind of resistance to Jews in the Western world, political resistance, then Romney would probably be bombing them too. Like this new party in Greece called the Golden Dawn. They're a nationalist, a Greek party, and they're a righteous group. And they have openly stated that, they are trying to take back their government from Jewish influence. And the Jews and the ADL and all these organizations have been wailing and hissing and crying and screaming against the Golden Dawn. And they're trying to destroy and undermine this new movement in Greece that is very promising. And because, that they want to eradicate any and all resistance to their rule, to their power, to their economic exploitation and domination of all Western countries and all the entire planet, really, is their aim. They want to take over the entire planet. And, Jewish extremists have routinely threatened to mass murder millions of people in order to get their way in the world. It's like, the savage Jewish Bolshevik leader Vladimir Lenin, he not only did he openly advocate using lies and deception and terrorism, he called for the wholesale slaughter of entire populations as a means to fulfill the sinister aims of communism, which was, for all intents and purposes, was the enforcement of international Jewish dominion over Gentiles. And he's on record stating that he didn't care if 90% of the Russian people perished during his reign of terror, so long as the surviving 10% would help him bring about a world revolution.
Right. And
And
he did say that they would control both sides of any issue, which you indicated that would be the so-called Democrat and Republican parties, which are really just two sides of the same coin.
which is always the case. They have to
Yes.
control. Democracy is a joke. It's a complete sham. That's why Jews are always propagating in favor of democracy. Let's bring democracy to the Middle East. We love democracy. No, the Jews love democracy because they can control all of the presidential candidates, all of the political parties, through their control of the money supply, through their control of the Federal Reserve Bank, through their control of the International Monetary Fund, and all the central banks, the Western world. Through this influence, they can control all the political parties. Every single major Western political party that's in the mainstream that has a chance of coming to power dances to the Jewish tune. Not a single one of them ever criticizes Jews or Israel in any form or fashion. That should tell you that democracy is a Jewish tool, and should just be laughed at and scoffed at as a system of Jewish manipulation.
Right. What do you think of the U.S. ambassador to Libya being killed? Now, it appears that he was actually lynched, that he was not killed by a bombing raid. What are your views on that?
I actually haven't read too much into that. I heard of it. I don't know what exactly took place, but it's a strange. Maybe that's just the Libyans getting sick of what's happening over there. Maybe it was an Israeli false flag operation. Who knows? I'd have to do more research into it.
Right. Yeah, he was definitely the picture shows that well, it kind of indicates that he was lynched, but who knows? I mean, seriously, who knows what is going on? Because the mainstream media has been under the control of the government since basically 1927 with the Radio Act of 1927. And I think we're probably the most censored country in the entire world.
Probably next to Germany's
Oh, yes. Oh, my word.
a Zionist gulag. It's very difficult to ascertain any of anything that's really going on in the Middle East because everything coming out of mainstream is supremely tainted with Jewish propaganda, and they're always pushing some agenda. And even in the alternative, a patriot terror movement, it's hard to come by decent information. There's very few sources out there that you could really put your trust in and put your faith in as somebody who's just trying to get at the truth of the matter instead of pushing some agenda.
How true. Because as you say, with regard to Alex Jones, he sold out some time ago and is now working for the enemies.
He probably was working for them all along. I know that he really got popular when he came out with that Bohemian Grove video where he claims that he infiltrated this Bohemian Grove. And there's a video I posted on my site exposing that as a complete sham, that
Really?
he went in there, but he makes all of these claims that there was video cameras in the woods and that the feds were watching them, and he makes all of these claims, but conveniently he can never prove any of his claims with video evidence. He just fails to catch all of these things on his video camera.
Right. And how did he get in there? Interestingly enough, I'm going to interview for an hour. I believe in about a week, the guy that supposedly went in with him.
John Ronson.
Hansen.
I think it's John Ronson. He's this Jew lover from England, and he's made all kinds of documentaries where he's like, you can see that he loves Jews and he's defending Jews and stuff. But that would be interesting.
I
I
think it's
think
Michael Hansen is the guy that I'm going to be interviewing.
well, there's another guy named John Ronson
Okay.
that makes documentaries. He actually made a documentary called David Icke, The Lizards and the Jews, and he follows David Icke around when he's on a speaking tour in Canada, and it's very interesting because the Jews, organized Jews in Canada, were desperately trying to silence David Icke, not because he speaks any kind of truth about Jewish power or anything. It's just that they thought that when he says reptilians, that he means Jews. It's a code word. So this is how paranoid they are. I mean, David Icke is on record saying that he doesn't mean Jews when he says reptilians, and he always whitewashes the issue and tries to blame these kosher boogeymen for everything. But Jews are so frantically paranoid that they even think that if you're just speaking about generically about the New World Order or reptilians or elites and globalists and bankers, they get nervous because they know when you dig deep enough and you'll find that Jewish hand guiding everything from behind the scenes.
Right.
So that's why they wanted to shut up David Icke. But it shows that these Jewish groups and these communist activists were plotting behind the scenes, and it shows them in their meetings. They're meeting together and they're plotting ways to undermine David Icke and shut him up and sabotage his speaking tours and stuff. And it's a really good insight into the machinations of organized Jewry and the sinister tactics that they frequently utilize to silence any and all political opponents.
And that's the way they've always worked, from the time that they created B'nai B'rith in, what, 1843. They have always been like that. And they are so well organized. And when they feel under attack, it doesn't matter whether you're a Zionist or whether you're the tailor down the street or whether you own a restaurant or whatever, when they are under attack, they unite together because that's just their nature.
Absolutely, and that's what this anarchist leader named Mikhail Bakunin, and I guess he was sort of a stooge of them being an anarchist leader, but he has this amazing quote where he is lambasting Karl Marx as a Rothschild stooge, and he has these potent words for the Jews, and he says that across all differences of political opinion, it doesn't really matter. Jews get together as a gluttonous parasite to exploit the entire Gentile world. And that's one of my favorite quotes that I've seen about Jews coming from an anarchist of all people. But that has been their modus operandi since day one, since Judaism was conceived and invented.
Right. Now, didn't they recently, I think it was in February this year, didn't they convene a Jewish Congress in Europe?
I think that they did. They're always coming up with some Jewish organization to boast and promote themselves as the dictators of the planet and tell us Gentiles how much they hate us and want to destroy us. They're almost doing this openly now, and they're just flexing their muscles. So that's not surprising.
Right, yeah, I think it was a World Jewish Congress that they created, let's see, early this year. I had it on my, up here as a link, but I guess I lost it or something. Yeah, World Jewish Congress meeting. They met in May of this year, and I mean, what are they talking about? You know, and of course we also know that they have some sort of a Sanhedrin, which was created back in the in I think it was 1860. And these organizations claim to speak for the entire Jewish population, and they refer to themselves as the International Jewry. And of course, when they declared war on Germany in 1933, they did it as a world group.
As a unified entity,
Yes.
and that's where their power stems from, is that they're so completely cohesive and unified across all political divisions, or even some of them ethnic divisions. There's different kinds of Jews, but they all seem to get together when they feel that there's a threat to their power and their rule and their domination and their exploitation and their criminal network. They get together to squash the Gentiles who are not compliant with Jewish rule.
Yes. Yeah, it is quite amazing. Yeah, it was Kramo, Adolf I. Kramo, that created this organization in 1860. He created the Alliance Israelite Universelle, and that is still functioning.
Right, the Alliance Israelite Universelle, that was like the precursor to like B'nai B'rith, a Jewish Masonic organization at the very heart of the Jewish conspiracy for world domination, is these Jewish Masonic secret societies. That's where you get things like the Protocols of Zion stemmed
Right.
from the Alliance Israelite Universelle and Kramu and all those people and those Jewish financiers in Europe.
Yep. And they create all these organizations, and we know that B'nai B'rith created the ADL in order to prevent or to prohibit or silence any kind of criticism, particularly after there was all this immigration of Jewish criminals who came in and started the black market drugs here, and alcohol and prostitution, and they didn't want, and then they blamed it, as they usually do, on the Italians, but they were really running things.
Right, the ADL was basically conceived to defend this Jewish rapist, pedophile, murderer named Leo Frank.
Yes.
So that shows you the credibility of this organization. It was founded upon the defense of a murderer, of a killer, a criminal who raped a little girl and killed her. So that shows you quite clearly the moral integrity of these people. I mean, they're absolute degenerates, criminals, and psychopathic lunatics.
Right. Yes. And they always make the other people, the other guy, the bad guy. It's always, and they also use collective guilt, like what they did in Germany. I mean, they went in there and re-educated people to accept collective guilt. It was
Right.
terrible what they did in Germany.
Right. The collective guilt for an event that never happened, that didn't take place, that is a fairy tale, that is wartime propaganda that's been weaved into the history books, and they say that, you know, they promote collective German guilt for atrocities that didn't occur, and for you know, they promote collective white guilt for slavery, even though every ethnic group participated in slavery. Blacks, whites, Jews had a heavy hand in it. Arabs had a big slave trade. But the only people who are told to feel guilty about it are whites. But Jews, you know, they don't feel any responsibility for their criminal actions that they commit in the world. Jews, if you just expose the fact that all of the top communist mass murderers from Russia and Eastern Europe, a hefty majority of them were Jews. And if you simply tell this to somebody or ask a Jew about this, will he have any remorse, any sympathy? And of course not. And you know, they feel that they can commit any crime in the world and that they have no feelings of remorse or responsibility for it. But Gentiles, on the other hand, must be on our knees groveling and kissing their feet and apologizing for war propaganda, for lies and deceptions that Jews have invented and convinced the world that it took place.
Right,
So.
and it wasn't even the Holohawks, but they wanted to blame Germany for starting the war when in fact they started it, and this collective guilt, as you say, they want to blame the whites for certain things, and yet they did own the slave ships, and they did own a good majority of the slaves, and they financed the slave trade. Actually, the majority of the slaves belong to a very small minority. So, when you're talking about blaming the whites for slavery, I think we have to really look at the numbers to see what is really going on. And it was the big plantations that had slaves. It wasn't the middleman at all.
Right, and they've ruthlessly tried to suppress those facts and that evidence. There was this black professor named Tony Martin who
Right.
did a lot of work, kind of exposing some of the Jewish influence in the slave trade, and they ruined this man. They destroyed his career, and they've tried to suppress that evidence. And Steven Spielberg makes this film called Amistad about
All
slavery.
right, yes.
He portrays all the slave owners as whites and Christians. You make sure to get like the cross. You get a nice shot of the Christian cross in every scene. So I mean, you know, they just do this with everything. Every bit of historical malfeasance that they participate in, they just try to pass it off on Gentiles. And I go into this in my book. I show that throughout history they have consistently and continually tried to cloak their heinous actions as the work of Gentiles. And they've done this so many times, it's absolutely unbelievable. I probably don't even know everything about all of their crimes, but it's just unbelievable how much evil they have perpetrated and had blamed on somebody else, and which has caused even more havoc. Because when they get you to hate somebody else for something that they didn't do, then you can convince other Gentiles to attack them, to demonize, to want to fight wars against them and whatnot. And they're always pushing some evil and destructive policy.
Well, exactly. Look at the supposedly 19 Arabs did 9/11. But what did they do? They compelled the US military to go over and literally bomb Iraq into the Stone Age. How is that? I mean that is just amazing. How can we even comprehend? How can we even justify such behavior? Because basically what they're saying is, okay, and Iraq of course didn't have anything to do with 9/11, but they projected the guilt onto this entire population. And I don't know how many people have killed. What is it, 2 million by now?
Something astronomical like that. And they had to come up with a bit of extra propaganda to get that Iraq war going. They had 9/11, which allowed them to invade Afghanistan, but they had to come up with a bit more a kosher fiction to propagandize Americans into supporting an attack on Iraq with the weapons of mass destruction hoax and lie and myth. And they're just full of tricks and deceit. They come up with the most heinous lies, and the lies aren't even very good. They're not even very good. They're not even very creative. They're pushing the same narrative about Iran now. Iran's gonna get nuclear weapons and nuke us all. We have to go and destroy them. It's the same BS, and it's always gonna be the same BS because Jews they're getting lazy with their propaganda.
Well, they're not very creative. They keep using the same stories over and over, and yet we don't seem to remember that we got fooled the last time.
And they use the exact same story. They recycled the war propaganda from World War I, and they used it again in World War II. Back in World War I, British slash Jewish propaganda was saying that the Germans were bayoneting Belgian babies and manufacturing soap from the cadavers of their own fallen soldiers. And then the Jews took this and came up with the Jewish soap and lampshade story. And the same lies about killing babies, that Nazis were ripping babies in half with their bare hands, and then these anti-Semitic Nazi dogs were with poison-infected teeth were attacking Jewish children. It's absolutely absurd and hilarious that the kinds of crap that they come up with.
Right. And of course, Hollywood participated in this. Jewish-owned Hollywood did a lot of films to support World War I. I can't remember some of the names, like The Terrible Hun or something. And the Jews in Hollywood created all of these atrocity movies to get support for the war. And it just grew from there.
They're a bloodthirsty and warmongering people, and they've spearheaded the effort to launch almost every single war since World War I and before that. Every major war seems to just benefit Jews. They never come out victims. They're always coming out the victors of these wars, and they're standing tall as the rulers of the planet.
Indeed. So when are we going to wake up? When, where, what can we do to wake up the population? I think you're doing a great job with well, I think your book will be great, and I hope that you can get that out and published soon, and your website, and of course it must have been very effective, or they wouldn't have wanted to take it down. And I think it's a badge of honor that they went after you.
It is. It truly is. And my site has been getting record number of hits. I've been receiving between 2,500 and 3,000 hits a day since my site came back online, which is even more than I was getting when they took it down.
So they did you a favor, actually.
Yeah, I mean, people are just more curious as to what kind of content I have on my site. If they're so desperate to remove this website, people are thinking, well, what is he saying that they're so afraid of, so scared?
Exactly.
So, I have record comments on all of my posts now, so it's just going to continue to grow.
Good. Good. That's really good. Well, I've enjoyed chatting with you, and we need to do this again. And Yeah, let's try and figure out a way to get that book out.
It was fun. Hopefully we'll do another show soon. It was great talking to you.
All righty. Take care.
You too.